Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It seemed like a small question. Small question that Peter and James and John and Andrew asked. They wanted the real scoop. They wanted to know the future. I don't know about you, but that appeals to me. I'd like to know what the future holds. Maybe I shouldn't. And Jesus ends with these words, at least in our text today. We'll have more of what he said next week. He says, "And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but the one who endures to the end will be saved." The one who endures to the end will be saved. What is it that you have to endure? What is it that you need to kind of stick it out through? Is it pain? Is it some kind of suffering or loneliness? Mourning? Mourning of a beloved pastor, Carl Streupert, who passed away this week. Is it fear? Sometimes the things that we have to endure aren't really all those big things. Sometimes they're smaller things. I want to tell you a story about one thing I had to endure one time. It was when I was still working as a lawyer for a company, and I had to go to this dinner meeting, business meeting, right? And all the important people from the company were going to be there, and of course we had to go too. And there was about a dozen guys. They were all guys, as it turned out. That's another issue. We won't go there today. Anyway, these guys all got together and started, we'll say, shooting the breeze. And they were talking about all the great things that they had done. And they're topping each other's stories with tale after tale. And some of the things, and then they started talking about all the money they had spent. I mean, these were the high muckety-mucks, right? They had money to spend. They talked about the things that they had spent their money on, or you would say, maybe, blown their money on, or the things that their wives had blown their money on, and that, boy, believe me, they really tried to top each other on that. And then the conversation changed, and it turned to talking about other people in the company mostly. And it wasn't just the management evaluating people, it was really kind of personal. And really kind of tawdry. And really kind of painful. If you think guys don't gossip, well, guys gossip too. So this was a dinner that I had to endure. Okay? What do you do in that situation? Do you try to avoid it? You try to go to the restroom so you don't have to sit in on that part of the conversation? How many times can you go to the bathroom in one dinner meeting? Once, I think. Or do you try to change the subject? Or do you just sit there silently? Well, most of the time I sat there silently during that meeting. And I kind of regretted it. But I endured it. I got through it, if that's what you call enduring it. But I don't think that's what God's talking about today. I don't think that's the kind of endurance that Jesus is talking about today. You see, when he's talking with his disciples, Peter and Andrew, James and John, two sets of two brothers, all fishermen by trade, that he had said, come follow me, become fishers of men. He wasn't talking about just being silent. And in our text today, and as we'll hear next week as well, at the end of the church year, gives us a chance to reflect on the end of the church year and the end times. Because what Jesus has to say to his disciples and to us really relate to the end times, certainly. And the picture of the end times that he gives us in what will happen to him over the next week as he goes to the cross. And also what will happen to the disciples during that week. And what will happen to the disciples throughout the course of their lives. And I'd invite you today to reflect for yourself on where you are with Christ at this point in your week and in your life and what God has placed you here to do as part of His grand plan of salvation for all of humanity. Well, let's talk about the disciples. Peter, I think it's Peter who asked this question. So I can just see the other three putting him up to it. Peter, you go ask him this, all right? Okay. So Peter asked the question, Lord, when will these things happen? And what will be the sign of these things? And Jesus tells him what's going to happen that week. And he tells them what's going to happen over the course of their lives. And in the end times. What's going to happen that week, you know that story. Jesus is going to be handed over and betrayed. And Peter, the one who asks this question, is going to be the one who says, Jesus, I'll be with you to the end. And Jesus says to him, before the cock crows three times, you'll deny me three times. That's what happened to Peter that week. They saw Christ go to the cross to endure mocking and scorn and pain and suffering and loneliness and abandonment and death for them and for you and me, for the forgiveness of our sins. How do you think Peter felt when that cock crowed, when he had denied Christ three times? I think I felt a little bit of that night at that dinner meeting where I said nothing. And then Christ goes on to explain to the disciples in words that they will only understand afterwards. What this means about the temple stones being thrown down. John explains it in his gospel. He says he was speaking about the temple of his body, which would be torn down and crucified, but raised up again after 3 days. The promise of the resurrection. But they didn't get that yet. And what about these trials and tribulations that Jesus refers to as the birth pains, the earthquakes and the famines? Well, over the course of their lives, these men, these four disciples, and the other disciples as well, lived through famines. There were four famines in the next few years in Rome in AD 40, in Rome again in AD 52, in Judea. It's again prophesied in Acts. There were earthquakes associated with these as well. And earthquakes that also happened during Jesus' crucifixion itself. So when you read about this, you need to remember that Jesus is speaking about something that's going to happen immediately. We see a picture of the end times in his crucifixion and resurrection. in the course of the disciples' lives, the same thing. Another picture of the end times. And then the end times themselves, of which these are only the birth pains. Now, what did God do with these four disciples? He changed their lives. And they became witnesses before kings and before emperors. Fishermen. He gave them the words to speak. And he used them to build his church. A church which changed the course of human history. That's why you're here today. Because someone shared with you the good news of Jesus Christ, which is exactly what they did. Now, if you're like me and you're sitting in this dinner meeting and you're scared to say anything, you're scared to speak a word of truth, just simple truth. This is wrong. We shouldn't be talking about these people this way. Or maybe to share a word of gospel or encouragement with someone who desperately needs to hear it. So in that dinner meeting, if somebody had stood up and said, "Okay, stop it, guys. We're not going to do this anymore," I would have been right there with them. I would have been right there with them. I would have at least said yes. But we need that first person to stand up and say that. And that's what Christ challenges us with today. He says, be that person who endures. Endures by speaking the words of truth and gospel to ears that need to hear it. Because I'll tell you one thing. That week where I did nothing, where I said nothing, it didn't help my job that week. It really didn't make me look better in the eyes of those whose eyes I was afraid I would look bad in if I said something. It didn't matter. My life didn't change that week. And it didn't change my character for the course of the rest of my life by saying nothing. And it certainly did not change the world. But think about that person who does do that. Like these disciples did. They endured to the end. Even Peter. Let's talk about Peter. He denied Christ 3 times, but he endured in Jesus' promise. And Jesus, in his resurrection, came back to Peter personally and forgave him. That's enduring to the end. The Lord knows you're going to fail sometimes. Dinner meeting, or whatever it is. There's forgiveness in your baptism for that. But there's also power in your baptism. Power that says, today I am going to say that. I'm going to use whatever words the Holy Spirit gives me to say this is wrong or this is forgiven. That will change your week. Those are the moments that will change your character over time. Because that's Christ speaking through you. And that will change history, human history. Because those words of God, given to you by the Holy Spirit in the precise moment when you need them, will change someone's eternal destiny. That's part of God's plan of salvation for you. You are part of God's plan of salvation for someone else. Did you know that? God grants this to us in Jesus Christ our Lord.